Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." That's a true statement he made. Today, I would like to look at that. We're going to be in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank you for your love. I thank you for this time that we can just open your word. Pray, Father, this morning that you would just encourage the believer, speak to their hearts about the truth of your word. Pray, Father, that through this time you would help them to recognize that we are the lighthouse. We are the ones to share the message here and around the world. And Lord, I pray for those that might be here this morning that do not know you, your precious Son, as precious Savior. I pray, Father, that you would speak to hearts today. Pray you would open eyes, open hearts, that they would come to the understanding that it is only through Jesus that salvation can be had. Lord, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for Pastor. Pray you'd be with him and his family as they are away. Pray, Father, you'd bring them safely back here this next week. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John chapter 14, starting in verse 1, we read, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, and where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." There are three obvious things that I'd like to share with you this morning, and they're the things that Jesus said about himself. First, that he is the way. Second, that he is the truth. And third, he is the life. And if we look back in chapter 13, we see some things happening there. It is the Feast of the Passover, and all the disciples are with Jesus in this room. And they are sharing the time of breaking bread and a time of conversation. And we all understand how that is. You sit around. We do a lot of breaking bread around here, by the way. Next week, we're going to do the same thing. We enjoy that. It's a great time of fellowship, a great time to communicate and converse with one another about things that are happening during the week and things of Scripture and things of God. And we enjoy that time together. And like them in this room, they were sharing the same thing. Jesus using this as a teaching moment to his disciples. There's a lot going on here. I'd like to just share a couple as we go through chapter 13, just briefly. One of them we start with that where they are, and they're at the Feast of the Passover, and we see that Jesus begins by washing the disciples' feet. A servant would wash someone's feet. Jesus, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, is washing their feet. And there's a lesson there for them. Peter, being bold, says, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." And basically he tells them, "Well, you're going to have to, because if I don't wash your feet, you have no share with me, Peter's put in his place. We see that. How many of us have been put in our place from time to time? I got to tell you, years ago, I was humbled. I had been in a frame shop, a picture framing shop, and I was helping a pastor from a different faith who believed you could lose your salvation and believed that if you were not baptized, that you were not saved. Water baptism, you were not saved. Of course, I was, you know, gung-ho about what I knew, and that guy put me in my place. You know who knows Scripture more than anybody else? Satan. And he can put you in your place. So you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. And I ran after that meeting right to my pastor and said, man, I feel so low. This guy came up with all this Scripture and turned it around and made me really question what was going on. So there was these things that were happening. And, of course, we've been put in our place. Just remember, get back up and stand. Just stand for the Lord. So that was a humbling experience for me. Well, Peter's humbled here. And Jesus says, if I do not wash you, then you have no share with me. He's put in his place. And then he goes on and he talks about Judas. He doesn't mention him by name, but he tells the disciples that one of you is going to betray me. And he tells, even we can see it in Scripture now that, you know, it's him who I give the morsel of bread to, and we can see this clear in Scripture, but they don't get it. They don't see that. And then after he's given that, he walks out. And then Jesus says that, you know, I'm going to be going. I'm going to be leaving. First of all, that I'm going to be glorified, and God's going to be glorified. And if I'm glorified, God will glorify himself and glorify him at once. And then he says that, you know, I'm going to be going and that you cannot go with me. And Peter says, well, you know, I'm going to go with you. Why can't I go with you? And he comes down to, Lord, you know, I will give up my life for you. Then again, Peter is told, you're going to betray me. Now, how many of us in less dire circumstances have done the same thing Peter did? You're in a conversation with somebody and you don't stand because everybody around is of one like mind against God and you don't speak up. I'm sure that many of us have been there and we feel terrible about it. Again, ask the Lord to help you, his forgiveness, and get back up and stand. Don't stay where you are. But that brings us to chapter 14. So the first thing that he says is, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. You talk about some confusion going on here. After 13, God is telling them that he's going to be leaving and that Peter's going to be denying, and somebody's going to be betraying, and how could you not have a troubled heart with all of that is going on in chapter 13, if you were one of them? But he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. He also goes on in starting in verse 2 and says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So here Jesus is again talking about leaving. Must have been confusing. People, they truly don't understand completely what's going on. And you can see that in verse 5 where he says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? How can we know the way? And then Jesus says in verse 6, I am the way. I'm not a Greek scholar, don't claim to be, but I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance of what the way actually meant in the Greek. Hadagos, I'm sorry if I mispronounce that, is the Greek word for it, and it basically means conductor, a conductor, or a guide or leader, somebody that's going to take you through something. Jesus said, I am the way. He's going to take those that trust in him through that they may know salvation, they may know God. And if you look back in Acts, you'll see in Acts 4, 11 and 12, this is Peter and John, they're before the council in Jerusalem. And there's a lot going on here. The Sadducees are greatly annoyed, as it says in verse 2 of chapter 4. And there's just so much going on. And John and Peter, they bring it to the point there in verse 11. And it says this. Well, let me back up a little bit. He says, let me start in verse 9. It says, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you. He's telling them who Jesus is. But then he says this. He says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, the religious elite, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus continues and says in verse 6, I am the truth. He says this. He says that, well, first of all, the meaning of truth means truth, not concealing something. And if you turn to John chapter 1, it says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born of the blood, or who were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus is the truth. He is the one that John bare witness of. Jesus came to die on a cross for the sins of the world. And those that would trust in him and believe him, would accept that precious gift, can know life through Jesus Christ. But he continued on, and he said in verse 6, I am the life. And that comes from the Greek word zoe, which means life or quick. The word quick, to quicken, reviving or refreshing, an increasing of life, resurrection from the dead, to be made alive again, which we know Jesus did. Verse 11, John 11 says this, in verse 25, 26. You see here that Lazarus had died, and Martha, he confronted Martha there, and Martha naturally was very sad. If you know the story, it's very, most of you do. And he said to her, he said, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." She didn't understand initially, as we can see in the text, that he was talking about now, that Jesus was going to raise him now. She understood, unlike the Sadducees, that there is a resurrection. And Jesus, being that resurrection, is the hope and the truth of what we see today in the Christian life, that one day we will be like Christ, and he will call us bodily with him, and we will be with him forever in the Lord. She didn't understand that at the time, but it became very clear when Lazarus came forth out of the tomb. And then it goes on. It says in verse 7, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." That's a pretty bold statement. I think they're still coming to grips of who they're dealing with here. They trust him. They want to believe him, but there's certain things they've not experienced. Yes, they've seen the miracles. Yes, they know he's a great teacher. Yes, they want to believe. But there's still some confusion. There's still some doubt. There's still some things they don't understand. But Jesus is making a statement now. You're looking at God. You're looking at God the Father in me. You're seeing me in the Father. I and the Father are one. We are one. And so it is very very telling that they are hearing this. Now, having said that, though, if we read on, they still don't quite get it. It says, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and in the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." They have seen a lot of things that have happened. Jesus has told them in verse 7, you have seen the Father if you've seen me. Yet in verse 8, you see that Philip still doesn't understand. And they're not truly going to understand until after the resurrection. And you can read about that in John 20 and on if you really want to see how that goes. And most of you already know how it ends. But they truly don't. And we've got to understand that if we were in their shoes, we'd be the same way. We want to believe. We've seen some wonderful things. But we're still not quite understanding that this man that they have been with for all this time truly is the Son of God, truly is the one that is the way, is the truth, and is the life. All of this is so new to them that they are struggling with this, and they truly don't completely understand what's really going on here. The truth is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. We, brothers and sisters in Christ, who have accepted our lives, I remember back in 1974, some of you know this, I was in Texas, and there was a man named Paul Perry that was at First Baptist Church there in Winnie, Texas, was my Sunday school teacher. And I always thought, what a kooky guy, you know? I'm this kid who really doesn't really care. I've got to be there. You know, some of our young folks here today, they're here because mom and dad make them come. And that's how I was, sitting in that pew. Well, I got to be here, so I'll listen to what you have to say. But there was something different about this guy. He was a guy that cared, and you could tell that. You could tell that the love of Christ was in his heart, and he wanted something better. He wanted something better for all of the folks that were in his Sunday school class. And my dad was gone at the time to Korea. He was on deployment. He was in the Air Force at the time. He was gone for a year. And I was down there with my mom and my sister and ended up going to that church. I don't know what was said, but I know there was a day in that Sunday school class where the Holy Spirit started speaking to my heart. And I know we could talk with one another about your experiences too, about when Jesus spoke to you through the Holy Spirit and you came to the conclusion, I have to accept Christ. And I remember on a road in southeast Texas, walking, my mom used to jog a lot, and I would go with her. And finally I asked her, I said, Mom, you know, Mr. Perry had mentioned a few things, and I don't know. How do I accept Christ? How do I accept this, what I'm feeling right now? And, of course, she shared with me, just accept him. Just accept that gift, that acceptance that Christ paid the price on the cross for my sins. And that all you need to do is acknowledge that, accept him. And I did that day. And I'll tell you, here I am, 13 years old. How much life have you had in 13 years? But the burdens that had been lifted literally at Calvary because I accepted Jesus was so overpowering, I couldn't help but telling others about what had happened to me. How many of you have experienced that? But then, life, time goes by, and we get a little cold. It's not right there. We get caught up in the day-to-day workings of life, and we don't tell people what we know to be true in our own lives. Peter found himself there, didn't he? A little bit more. I mean, he's told he's going to deny Christ. And I'm not saying you denied him, but you didn't speak up. In fact, you did. But Peter didn't stay where he was. We don't have to stay where we are. We can ask for boldness to be able to tell others about Jesus Christ in our workplaces, in our schools. And nowadays, in this day and age we're living in, that's the message that really has to go out. I mean, God forbid that you're watching the news too much. There's so much negative stuff that goes on today that sometimes we get lost in the truth. And the truth is that this world needs Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that should be our focal point, is to tell people about their need of salvation. We can use a little boldness in our lives from day to day, and we need to be asking the Lord to help us with that. The message of the believer is in this book, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And that's the message we need to share with others. Next week, we're going to have a missions conference, and after that, we will break bread. We will enjoy each other's fellowship, and we will enjoy eating, and hopefully Hopefully people will be signing up. It's kind of a plug for this, signing up for different meals. I'm looking to see what kind of diverse meals we can have from around the world. Alemi, I'm going to call you out. I want some Thai food next week. I want to try some stuff. Sonia, where is she? Is she in here? Oh, there she is. I want some German food. Lots of German food. Wherever you're from, Maria here? She's sick. Well, you can relay the message. I want some Mexican food. I want some. Be a good time to experience the fellowship around food. But ultimately, it's going to be the time that we can hear from our missionaries and find out what they're doing around the world and what they're doing and what we should be doing here through their lives, right? We can be lifting up the name of Christ in our community. We can be doing that. Yesterday was the traumatic brain injury, first annual. Where's Becky? That they walked yesterday, and some of you walked with her. Man, that's a testimony right there. That shows that people care, and they want to share the gospel message with people through experiences, granted, tragic experiences. But guess what? As believers in Christ, we stand up. No matter what is thrown our way, we're going to just serve the Savior. And that's what the message is going to be. So I hope that you're here next week for that, to share with what's going on in with our missionaries, but also the time of fellowship that we're going to have. And I'm going to be watching people. I want to see you try it. Dad, I know he's a meat and potato guy, and some of you are probably that way. You won't try anything new. If it's anything green, I'm not touching it. Aunt Nita, if it's something that you got to eat. So I'm looking forward to that. You may be here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would dare say in a crowd this size, some of you are struggling. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope, my prayer is that you do not leave here today until you get the answer. Trust me, if you're even thinking towards salvation, that's not you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, saying, do something. Accept my precious gift today. Don't leave until you get that answered. You may be a lady, and I'll be around. There'll be others around that can answer those questions for you. We'd love to talk with you. And if you're a lady, maybe you don't want to talk with a guy. Maybe you would rather talk with another lady. We'll find somebody. Let's find somebody that you can talk to. But don't leave here until you get that settled today. The joy of being in a fellowship like this is to be able to just share your burdens with brothers and sisters in Christ. And I that's one thing that I appreciate about this church, is that the love that you see here, good times and bad times, and we've been through some rough times. But we stand up because we serve a great God, and he gives us all that we need. That's the message that we need to bring to this world, that God loves them and that all they need to do is accept the truth that Jesus Christ is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Let's stand. Father, we are so grateful for your love. We are grateful for the truth that Jesus Christ came. He died on a cruel cross for our sin. But Father, he was raised again, and we can have a newness in life in him, a spiritual renewal in Jesus Christ, and that one day we bodily will be with him for eternity. Lord, I pray that you would be with my brothers and sisters here in Christ, that you would give boldness to them, that they can share the gospel with people they come in contact with. Father, I pray that not only words, but Father, they would show in action the truth of your love. And Father, today, if there is someone here that does not know you as Savior, I pray, Father, you would speak to their heart. Just give them an unrest that they would want to find out more and that they would turn their life over to Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us here in Indian River Baptist Church. Pray, Father, that everything that was done today, Father, that you were honored. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.